Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. The last two times we were in this book, I dealt with verse 20. And I'm going to read verse 20 to bring us right into verse 21, where I'd like to look tonight. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You this evening, oh, for the precious time that we have. Lord, You've given us one more time to meet together. I pray that You'd bless Your word. Lord, bless it to the comfort of Your people. Bless it to the calling out of Your elect. Lord, establish us, settle us. Help us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. The Lord has commissioned His people, especially His preachers. Comfort ye. Comfort ye. My people, saith the Lord. I pray that tonight that we might be comforted. We need comfort. We desire comfort. I want to be comforted. We're in this world. Scripture says that God's people are not of it. They're in it, not of it. And the Lord is doing something in His people. And that which He's doing is to the honor and praise of His glory and grace, and it's for their good and their settling. But what He's doing and why He's doing it, that's what I want to deal with tonight. Why are we still here? Why are God's people still in this world? What is the Lord doing in His people? And why is He doing it? What is He doing and why is He doing it? That's what I'm going to deal with tonight. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Listen to what He says here. Make you perfect in every good work. Now, Paul the Apostle, who I believe penned this epistle, is praying for God's people. This is a prayer that has been penned according to the purpose of the Spirit of God. You know, Scripture says if everything that the Lord had done had been written down, everything that He had done had been written down, that the world would not contain the books. But you know, everything that the Spirit of God was pleased to write down, that God did by and far and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, it's all down to one book. Now, if everything had been written, the world wouldn't contain all the books. I tried to think about that. That thought just amazes me. I thought, oh, that which He did when He was in this world. But it's all by the Spirit of God's good pleasure. It all comes down to one book. One book. Boy, we ought to make much of this one book, shouldn't we? The God of peace make you perfect. Here's the apostle casting the care of God's sheep into the hands of the one who cares for them. Who cares for them heartily. You know that. He loves them. But cares for them in all that they need. According to His riches and glory. The apostle was praying that the Lord would work in them, preparing them for their walk in this life. Yes, that's exactly right. For their walk in this life, but for their walk right out of this life into glory. The apostle had faithfully preached God's word to these people. But he was only a voice, and he knew that. Every true preacher knows that. 1 Corinthians 3:6-7. The apostle says, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Only the Lord can bless His word. The vessel through which the message is preached is, as John the Baptist said, I'm just a voice. I'm a messenger. I'm a messenger with a message. And we beseech you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So here was the apostle praying, God make you perfect. Now I know this. In this world, there is a nature in every believer that is holy. Now you know that. That which is born of God sinneth not. But there's an old man that's still with us. And in this world, we're walking in this world coupled with this body of death. This sin is present with us. But what Paul is praying is that I'm praying that God mature you. Fit you. The word is adjust you. Praying that the Lord would make you perfect, would frame you, is another definition. Frame you. Oh, how we need what God is doing in His people. We need this. God's people need to be fitted, adjusted, framed. To walk in this world as believers, as vessels of His mercy, as His witnesses. And how is He doing it? What I know this is what He's doing. Let's look at how He's doing it. In just a second, I'm going to get to why He's doing it. Let's look at 1 Peter. Just turn over. Hold your finger there or put your marker there and turn over to 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. This is what he's doing. The apostle said that praying that God mature you, fit you, adjust you, frame you. Here's how he's doing it. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I want to just consider just for a second who is perfecting his people. Peter says the God of all grace. You know, I began to think on the grace of God. You know, the scriptures talks about the covenant of grace. There was a covenant that Almighty God entered into with himself on behalf of those that he had chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, settled, sure. That's what David said. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. It's all my salvation, all my desire. So we talk about the grace of God, thinking of the covenant grace of God. That God from before the foundation of the world would enter into that covenant to save his people. But think about the regenerating grace. What about redeeming grace? That the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for the sheep. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They're going to be regenerated. How about keeping grace? We're still here. By the grace of God, kept by the power of God through faith. How about dying grace? Grace to leave this world. I don't know anything about it. I've watched it and wondered at it, marveled at it. It's actually a marvel to behold the grace of God that would keep his people in the hour of their departure. Just settled. But of all of these things that can be spoken of concerning grace, here's the description that Peter gives under the inspiration of God's Spirit. But the God of all grace, grace that forgives, grace that forgets. You know, you start talking about us being gracious to one another. You know, if somebody has offended you, and I mean they have offended you, done you wrong, and you know there is forgiveness, but to forget it, just Carl, I just can't get it out of my mind. I mean, I'm just not capable of being able to get it out of my mind and just say, okay, that's it. I'm just never going to think of that again. There's times that I'll think of things that happened to me when I was little. I mean, little. I was telling my mom and dad something one time that I remembered. I remembered it. I remembered where I was standing. I remembered I was in an old house and there was a staircase, and I told my dad I remembered something that happened, and I described it, and he told me, he said, you couldn't possibly remember that. You'd have been too small to remember that. And I said, Dad, I can describe it. I remember it. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I couldn't erase it. But to forget, only God. God Almighty says we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know that according to His Word, He forgives. For Christ's sake, our debt being paid by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He justly and faithfully forgives His people. But I tell you what else He says He does. He forgets it. He forgets it. Now you listen to this. The sins of God's people. What does the Scripture say? What does the Scripture say about them? Well, the Scripture says that they're cast behind His back. Now, concerning Him who is omnipresent, He's everywhere. He's everywhere. So, where would behind His back be of Him who is everywhere? You say that there is no place like that where God is not. I know there is no place like that, and that's where the sins are. They're as far as the east is from the west. And He who is omniscient, who knows all things, said, I will remember them no more. And I know it. I will remember them no more in wrath. But He said, I'm not going to remember them. That's grace. That's grace. My friend, when it comes down to forgiving and forgetting, covering, not ever. You know, you owe me some money or something like that, and you just, when I was at home, I was in business with my dad for a while, and then I ended up taking over the business, and somebody beat me out of a whole order of windows. I put windows in their house, and they just wouldn't pay me. Wrote me a hot check. And I called them, and I tried to get my money and stuff like that, and they just, you know, never did get it. And you know, I just remembered it. Only God Almighty is the God of all grace. But the God of all grace, 1 Peter 5:10, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ. Who called? He called. You know, man wants to twist this thing around and says that he's the one that calls on the Lord. If a man calls on the Lord, it's because the Lord called him first. If a man loves God, it's because God loved him first. If a man seeks God, it's because God sought him first. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. You know, when it comes to God being the God of all grace, He's faithful, isn't He? That's what 1 Corinthians 1:9 says. God is faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to His Word. Faithful to His promise. Look at this promise. Romans 9. I love this chapter. Romans chapter 9, verse 15, 16. Listen to the promise of God. God is faithful. Romans 9, 15, 16. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So that it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God is faithful. Faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful to show his people mercy. But his mercy is only found in his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You try to approach God. People talk about approaching the Lord. You try to approach God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Scripture says he is a consuming fire. You try to approach God apart from the mediator. Apart from him, and here's what we'd find. I will by no means clear the guilty. But in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. That fellowship, we've been shown grace, mercy. God's faithful to his Son, to his Word, to his people in his Son. But listen to this, back still in 1 Peter 5:10. This is how he's doing it. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Now, in this life, this is what we're promised. This is what every believer's promised. In this life, you're going to have tribulation. It may be physical. Live long enough, it will be. It may be family. It may be it. In this life, you're going to be hated of all men for his name's sake. Men will ridicule you. They did him. But in this life, we're going to suffer. But here's the thing. After that ye have suffered a while. You see the grace in that. You see the mercy of God in that. Just a while. It's just a while. There's going to be an end of these trials for God's people. We're going through some trials, testings, chastenings, troubles, sufferings in this life. And all of God's people, that's going to be their lot. This is the lot. And we cannot be surprised. Don't be surprised. This is the way it is. This is the way it's going to be. You parents, you get a call from your kids, you know. Dad, Mom, I got, I'll talk to you. Told you before, man, I always tell my kids, just don't string me on like that. Just tell me right now. Just as soon as you call me, tell me what it is. But I'm telling you, the sufferings for a believer is just for a while. And when we are taken out of this world, it's over. All the suffering, no more tears. No more suffering, no more trials. This is the worst that a believer is going to have it. This is the worst right here. But listen, you leave this world, listen to me, you leave this world without the Lord Jesus Christ as your substitute. And this is the best you'll ever have. This is the best of it. You will live separated from God Almighty under His judgment. And this world knows nothing of that judgment that's going to be suffered when a man or woman leaves this world. But there's a reason. There's a reason for this. That he's perfecting his people, adjusting them, framing them, fitting them, is so. How is he doing it? He's doing it as we go through this world and suffer, try. Did our Lord suffer? He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Those sufferings that he endured for his people and his people, that's their lot too. But here's why the Lord's doing it. That after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The God of all grace is maturing his people. He's establishing them, strengthening them, settling his people. And he's doing it right now, while we're in this world. There's no doubt about that. And he's doing it for this reason. Now get a hold of this, and you're only going to get a hold of this. I know, I say this to myself. Only by faith can we get a hold of what he's doing. He has predestinated. You know this. All right, hold your finger there again. Ephesians. You know that Ephesians 1, 4, and 5 says this. We've read this so many times. Lord willing, we're going to start in the book of Ephesians here in the next few weeks. I'd like to go through this book. But Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that, in order that, we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. He has determined the destination. He set the limit beforehand. He set the boundaries beforehand, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, here is what the Lord is doing as he is perfecting us, establishing us, strengthening us, and settling us as we suffer a while. He is preparing his people. Now listen, this is what I told you a while ago. By faith, we believe this. He is preparing his people through these sufferings as he's settling us and establishing us. He is preparing his people in this world to be like his son. This is why we're going through what we're going through. I'm going to prove that to you. 1 John 3:2. You say, you mean to tell me everything we're going through, that God, while we're suffering for a while, you know, we've looked at this so many times back in Hebrews, in this 13th chapter, and he said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Why? Why? Why would you have to go through suffering? Why? Couldn't the Lord just eliminate all that? Why do we have to go through it? Because Almighty God, in his infinite wisdom, purpose, and will, because he's the God of all grace that I cannot enter into the depth of, in his sight, it is right. It is the best. And here is the best for his people. That he would settle us and establish us, that we might be like his son. 1 John 3:1-2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And because He's called us the sons of God, therefore, the world knoweth us not. I'll be honest with you. We look around at each other, and we see the frailties in ourselves and in each other, and especially the world look at us. And they don't look like sons of God to me. Well, they're not the ones that determine that. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew us not. Beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, this body of death is going to be put off. When He shall appear, this corruption is going to put on incorruption. This mortality is going to put on immortality. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Like I said, I know that the world doesn't recognize God's people as being God's sons. We're in a body of flesh just like everybody else, and we're subject to the miseries and trials of this world. But I tell you this, God's people are aware of the sin that's in them. They know something about it. And they grieve over it. They loathe it. According to His Word. Turn with me, I'm telling you this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. According to His Word. According to God's Word. When He appears, we're going to be changed. Philippians 3, verse 20, 21. Our conversation, our life, our manner of walk is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He's able even to subdue all things unto Himself. The Lord of glory is doing something in His people. He's preparing us to leave this world. He's preparing us. He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. He's ordering our steps right now. And Scripture bears forth that He's settling us and establishing us, fitting us to be like His Son. And right now, the Scripture says it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we, by faith, we know, according to His Word, we know that there's going to be a change. And you know, we began to anxiously anticipate it. But to be like Him, to see Him as He is and be like Him. Back in Hebrews 13:21. Now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work. in every good act and deed and effort. That word good right there, it's speaking of something that's done within us. I look at the outward manifestation in myself and I think I just can't see anything good. I don't see any attitude that I've had is right. I see sin is mixed with all that I do, but the scripture sets forth, make you perfect in every good work. He's maturing you. He's establishing you. He's perfecting you. You say, Lord, as you say you're doing, you're doing. But make you perfect in every good work. Make you that which is of value and virtuous. Not for the praise of men. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get any praise from men. But for the glory of God. Matthew 5:16. Listen to this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. O Lord, help me. But I've seen the inconsistency, but the Scripture says that He's fitting His people. How's He doing it? We're just suffering for a while. Working in us that which is right in His sight. Adjusting His people and framing them by His chastening hand of mercy. Those loving chastisements that we're going through. The next time, and I'm asking this for myself, Lord, help me the next time. When these things come my way, that I might be made to remember by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, bring this back to my mind. You're doing this. You're preparing me. Lord, you're settling me. You're adjusting me. I need some fine tuning. I know that. And Lord, you know exactly how to do it. As I'm suffering for a while, because you're going to make me just like your Son. In your Son. I'm going to be like Him. You know, Paul says these light afflictions, boy, don't they work an eternal weight of glory. We don't glory in them. They're grievous. That's what Paul said. These trials are grievous. But oh, what they do. What God is doing. The Lord has given His people a heart that is zealous, Titus 2:14, of good works. God's people study to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. And they have their conversation as it becometh the gospel. God works in them. He that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And this they do for one purpose, to honor Him. They've been made willing in the day of His power. The Lord's people, they're not lifeless robots. He's fine-tuning them. And He's doing it perfectly. Chastening. Loving hand of chastisement. And I'm telling you this all the while. I know this. Without Him, I can do nothing. I don't have anything to brag on. Paul says, go glory, glory in Him. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you to both to will and do of His good pleasure. There's a will, believer. You have a will, a new will. You have a new will to come to Christ. Right now, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You have a will to hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. You have a will to trust him. You have a will to have his word hidden in your heart that you might not sin against him. You have a will to obey. A believer does. And he looks at himself and he sees, has no confidence in himself. But the scripture says that it is God that makes you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, teach us. As we go through this life, my friends, there's a reason why we're suffering. I mean, think about it. Why would we go through this world and remain in this world through trials and tribulations, sufferings and chastisements, and go through this world? Some of the believers were sawn in two, and some were crucified, and some of them were stoned, and some. Why? Because the God of all grace, who has chosen according to his gracious mercy to cause us to suffer for a while. It's not the way I've chosen to do it. But he did. And he's right. His way is right. His way is perfect. And has chosen to cause us to go through this world and suffer a while, and he might settle us, perfect us, adjust us. Because there's coming a time after we've suffered a while, he's going to usher us right into his presence. And when we see him, we're going to be just like him. Not until we leave this world, I can tell you that. In this world, we're going to continue to suffer. But in that day, to see him as he is and be like him. Lord, teach us. Lord, help us to behold your gracious mercy for Christ's sake.